and 2000 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African men's football. Morocco will host Egypt in Rabat in Saturday's final at the Under-23 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. On Tuesday in Rabat, the Moroccans beat Mali 4-3 in a penalty kick shootout after a 2-2 draw during regulation and extra time. In the other semifinal, played in Tangier, Morocco, Egypt edged Guinea 1-0 on an early 8th-minute goal by Mohamed Chahata. With the victories, Morocco and Egypt both qualified for the 2024 Olympic men's football tournament in Paris. Mali and Guinea, meanwhile, will play in Friday's third-place match, and the winner will qualify for the Olympics. Now, the loser will still have a chance for an Olympic berth as it goes to a playoff against an Asian team. The host Moroccans have been the highest-scoring team at the Under-23 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. They've tallied 10 goals in 4 matches. Barcelona man Abde Ezzalzouli has led the Moroccan attack with 3 goals. Morocco's Olympic qualification follows the historic run made by the country's senior national team, the Atlas Lions, at last year's World Cup in Qatar, where the team reached the semifinals. Morocco flexing its muscles in African men's football.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Now let's go to South Sudan and let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Juba Boys, who recently won the country's Blind Football League championship. In this Encore report, Demo Silva Aurelio tells us more from Juba.
Fans of the Juba Boys Football Club could not hide their joy after beating Qatar FC 1-0 in the final match of the league for the visual impaired footballers. 4 football clubs participated in the Blind Football League, which began in Juba 2 months ago. 20-year-old Clement Tereka, who scored the winning goal for Juba Boys in the second half of the game, says he is glad his team won the league.
In this game, it is not easy to score because you can't see. But when you focus and keep a direction, you score a goal. But if you keep on running anyhow, it becomes difficult to think of a goal.
Blind football is not popular in South Sudan, as many people do not believe visually impaired persons can participate in a soccer match. Doko Santuke is a fan.
This football is a very nice thing, according to what I've seen. It is for the first time since in my life that I'm seeing such kind of an event. It is very enjoyable. According to me, I didn't believe that they were going to make it possible. But now that I'm seeing them on ground, they are playing, struggling to get the ball, kicking. They're even seeing the ball. I don't believe that these are blind people playing the ball.
Lewis Madut, the chairperson of South Sudan Association of the Visually Impaired, says blind football will transform the lives of many blind young men and women who now remain at home after losing sight.
Initially, people used to wonder, how can a blind person play football? And in fact, maybe many are still wondering. But today, you have seen for yourself. Some people could say that if I was seeing it in a movie, I will say that it was just people who are acting. But today, you are seeing it in the field and direct. And maybe you are interacting with some of the players.
Is born Jacob, known as Kago, is a giant defender for the Qatar FC team.
Actually, the game is so nice, and the most thing that we are facing is that we are getting a lot of injuries, as you can see around. So this is not actually the good thing that we are expecting them to happen.
Simon Madol is a coach for the South Sudan Blind Football Association. He says injuries are expected in the blind football as new players master the rules of the game.
I realize that players have not yet caught up with the word boy, and sometimes we end up making accident. But I'm sure with time it will not be one of the problems.
That is an alarm from a goal used by blind soccer players. The ball is equipped with a bell that rings to alert the players to track its movement and fire a shot towards the goalpost, which makes noise to alert players. In blind football, each team has 5 blind players, assisted by 2 visually able goalkeepers, guides, and a referee. Players are instructed to yell "Voi" when they tackle their opponents to warn them and minimize the chances of injuries during play. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
South Sudan Blind Football.
Hello, listeners. My name is David Temong, the Paralympic silver medal 2016, gold 2017, bronze 2020, Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to American soccer star Megan Rapinoe, who is getting ready for her 4th Women's World Cup. Rapinoe is celebrating her 38th birthday on this Wednesday. She was born in Redding in Northern California. Megan Rapinoe and the American women are bidding for an unprecedented 3rd consecutive world title. At the 2019 Women's World Cup in France, Rapinoe won 2 big awards, the Golden Ball as the best player of the tournament and the Golden Boot as the top goal scorer. And as VOA's Gwen Uten reported on Tuesday's show, Megan Rapinoe believes the 2023 Women's World Cup will be a game changer.
This World Cup feels almost like a, you know, show up and show out kind of vibe. I think it's going to be incredible. I said before, kind of paradigm shift globally. I mean, I think we're having it a lot in the U.S., but I think just globally, you've seen what's happened since last World Cup. There's so many examples of this, and it feels like this is like a paradigm shift or a moment we'll look back to and say like nothing was ever the same after this Women's World Cup and what we're going to be able to do. And all bets on the Women's World Cup. Money's in on that. I just think it's going to be an incredible event.
Happy 38th birthday, Megan Rapinoe.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports.
This is the voice of America, Washington. D.C.
With the Women's World Cup kicking off in 2 weeks in Australia and New Zealand, let's take a look at the opening matches for the four participating African teams, Morocco, Nigeria, Zambia, and South Africa. Our Sunny Side of Sports listeners will remember the Moroccan women and the Zambian women will be making their Women's World Cup debuts. Morocco will meet Germany on July 24th in Melbourne, Australia, in the opening match for both teams. Zambia will face Japan on July 22nd in Hamilton, New Zealand. The Super Falcons of Nigeria, Africa's most successful women's team over the past 30-plus years, will play Canada on July 21st in Melbourne, Australia. And South Africa will face Sweden on July 23rd in Wellington, New Zealand. Tennis. It's day three of the prestigious Wimbledon tournament in England. Day two had a royal presence, as we hear now from the AP's Charles de Ledesma.
The Princess of Wales had the best seat in the house, centre court at Wimbledon on day two. Kate took her place in the front row of the royal box, right next to tennis star Roger Federer, the future queen, wearing a mint green blazer. She made her way down to her seat only moments before Federer was fated ahead of the opening match on the grass court tournament's second day. Kate has been somewhat of a regular visitor to Wimbledon since marrying Prince William. The late Queen Elizabeth made only a handful of trips to the All England Club during her 70-year reign. Her last appearance in the royal box was in 2010. Charles de Ledesma, London.
Thanks, Charles. With more on Wimbledon Day 2, here's the AP's Graham Agars.
Shelby Rogers had the makings of a big July 4 celebration at Wimbledon when she took the first set of a clash with defending champion Elena Rybakina, but the American hope wasn't able to produce the fireworks to close out the upset, with Rybakina eventually reaching the second round 6-2 in the third. There she joined fellow women's seeds Ons Jabeur and Irina Sabalenka, who both won easily. In men's action, top seed Carlos Alcaraz joined the veteran Andy Murray in the second round, both advancing in straight sets. But on the outside, uncovered courts, rain ruined the day. I'm Graham Agars.
Thanks, Graham. As Graham mentioned, Tunisian star Ons Jabeur easily won her opening Wimbledon match Tuesday when she beat Poland's Magdalena Freck in straight sets 6-3 and 6-3. Jabeur lost to Elena Rybakina in last year's women's singles final at Wimbledon, and she's bidding to become the first African woman and the first Arab to win a Grand Slam trophy. On another note, Jabeur says the time is right for Saudi Arabia to invest in tennis.
I think it's a completely different situation than golf, but if it's the benefits for the player, I'm 100% there. Again, I said, and I hope in Saudi they will not just invest with ATP. I hope with WTK, because I believe in Saudi they're doing a great, giving, you know, women more rights, and it's, you know, it's time to change things. And you believe it or not, is we have the best two women in Arabic world playing right now in tennis. So it's now or never. I hope they really invest in WTK, because I believe I went to Saudi last year, and I was very impressed, and I was very impressed with the people there. And I believe it could be a great idea to go there to play tournaments. Yeah, and let's see what the deal will be. But again, I hope they will see us for players, you know, not just an investment, but yeah, to give us more benefits than what we're having right now.
Ons Jabeur spoke Tuesday at her post-match Wimbledon news conference. Saudi Arabia has been investing heavily in sports in recent years, including golf and attracting top footballers to its domestic league.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up?
Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of Music Time in Africa, the voice of America's longest-running English language program. Music Time in Africa was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkisian. Basketball, the number one overall pick in the 2023 NBA draft, French phenom Victor Wembanyama is set to make his eagerly awaited NBA Summer League debut with the San Antonio Spurs on Friday night in Las Vegas, Nevada, where the Spurs will play the Charlotte Hornets. The 19-year-old Wembanyama, nicknamed Wemby, sat out San Antonio's first two Summer League games, but he's been practicing with the team the past few days. Wemby has been described as the NBA's top young prospect since LeBron James broke into the league 20 years ago. Meanwhile, one of the NBA's biggest recent stories was the Denver Nuggets winning their first league championship. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, let's look back on Denver's triumph. The Denver Nuggets defeated the visiting Miami Heat 94-89 to win their first National Basketball Association championship. The Nuggets won the best of seven NBA Finals, 4-1. Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic tallied a team-high 28 points in Game 5, grabbed 16 rebounds, and was named the NBA Finals Most Valuable Player.
It's good. I mean, it's good. We did a job. We did a job. I think we played the best basketball in the postseason, but I think we were there playing the best basketball. You know, today we didn't make shots, but still we defend. It's a good feeling when you know that you did something that nobody believes, and just it was just us. It's just the organization of Denver Nuggets believing us. Every player believe in each other, and I think that's the most important thing.
Nikola Jokic lifted the NBA trophy and the NBA Finals MVP trophy one day after Novak Djokovic won his record 23rd major singles title at the French Open tennis tournament. Jokic was asked if this is the greatest moment for Serbian athletes.
Gotta be. You know, sport is something that is always in Serbia, was something that put us in front of everybody, even like 10, 20 years ago, whatever. But now when we have a Djokovic who won probably the best ever, for us, he's the best ever, of course. And now we have a NBA championship, and I think it's a really good moment to be a Serbian.
Meanwhile, another Denver star, Jamal Murray, scored 14 points in Game 5 and got quite emotional during the trophy presentation ceremony.
It was really hard to put into words, still is. I couldn't even hold it in. You know, I don't know. I couldn't really hold it in. It was just a surreal moment, and everything was hitting. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything was hitting at once, from the journey to the celebration with the guys to enjoying the moment to looking back on the rehab to looking back as myself as a kid, as the other viewer. You know what I'm saying? Looking from the crowd in or from the camera lens in, and now being able to look back at them. You know what I'm saying? So it was a lot. I couldn't hold it in. It was just something I've been working for my whole life. I think Mike said it, Porter. You know, this is every real hooper, you know, wants to be on the stage and playing the game and be in this moment. So to see it full circle, you know, going from my rehab, not being able to walk, go up the stairs, like not just for a month or two, you know what I'm saying? It was for a long time. And a lot of different things going through my head, a lot of tears, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and real ones. Like I said, just to see it full circle and have total belief in myself, have the team have total belief in me, people back home have total belief in me. That's all I could ever ask for. And just to see it like this is amazing.
Denver's head coach is Michael Malone. At the post-game news conference, he was asked about the journey he's been on with Nikola Jokic to win the NBA title.
It's been amazing, you know, because you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it from the basketball perspective, two MVPs, finals MVP, world championship, and everything he's done on the court. And then more important for me, you can look at off the court, the relationship. You know, the love that I have for Nikola, his mother and father back in Sombor, Serbia, his brothers Nemanja and Strahina, his wife Natalia and their daughter Ognjena. You know, they're a wonderful family that I've gotten very close to. And I've said this many times before, but Nikola, even tonight, like he's kind of acting like this was like another game. He's never changed with all the success, and he never will. It's just not in his nature. You know, I love Nikola, 8 years, love Jamal, 7 years, been through a lot. And just for all of us to stay the course, to challenge ourselves, to get better collectively, individually. It's great to be a part of such a historically great player who's an even better person, and I mean that sincerely. This is not coach talk. Nikola is just a great, great man.
Michael Malone's coaching counterpart for the Miami Heat is Eric Spoelstra.
Now, obviously, we didn't get the final win, but sometimes, you know, that's true in sport and also in life, that you don't always get what you want. But there's no regrets from our side. Everybody, staff, player alike in the locker room, put themselves out there and put themselves into the team, whatever was best for the team. And the tough pill to swallow is it just wasn't good enough. We ran it up against a team that was just better than us in this series. You have to tip your hat to them. That I said it, but they're one hell of a basketball team. They play the right way. They compete. They're well coached, and they have a strong culture. So for this season, they deserve this.
That's Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Miami Heat basketball team. Now, Spoelstra has certainly been deserving of the NBA trophy in past years. He was an assistant coach when Miami won the NBA title in 2006, and he was Miami's head coach for back-to-back NBA championships in 2012 and 2013. As I mentioned, this was the first NBA championship for the Denver Nuggets. A little history about the team. Denver was founded in 1967 when it became a member of the now defunct American Basketball Association. I used to love the red, white, and blue basketball the league played with, that is the ABA. The Nuggets joined the NBA in 1976, so it's been a long, long wait, 47 years for the Denver Nuggets in the NBA, almost a half century to win their first NBA title. Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets.
VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to check out voaafrica.com. You can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes, and check out some of the other VOA programs at voaafrica.com. More basketball news. Iron Mike Imbonye caught up with Jelko Zecevic, the Serbia-born head coach of Guinea's men's and women's national basketball teams. Coach Jelko told Iron Mike about his coaching experience in Africa.
I am almost veteran of the Africa basketball. I am in the, starting my African experience for 2008, like a head coach of national team of Egypt. And after that, I was here only 1 year, one season. I was in the Lebanon like head coach of the Hekma Suggest team. For the rest, all my experience is last 15 years is here in Africa, in Arab world, also in the Black Africa world.
All right, you've been in Africa for long. How would you rate the game of basketball in Africa? How do you see Africa? Is the game growing in Africa? Does Africa have potentials to develop the game?
Africa, respect to the other continents, is a very exporting country. So players of Africa, players in Africa, especially play the basketball to find the resource for the better life, for the better scholarship, for the better play, and trying to be the professionals. For other side, is one of the biggest problem in Africa because the human resource going and running outside of Africa every minutes. So for the third part is market of the African players determine the production of the individuality of the players, and for that reason one of the biggest problem in Africa, the players who stay in Africa and play, they have the too much problems because they have the problems to play one organized championship, because in all Africa continent have 3-4 competitions in high level.
You have been coaching Guinea, all national teams.
Yes.
Do they have potential? Does Guinea have the potentials to raise great players in future from what you've seen?
Guinea not have the possibility. Guinea already have huge players, but 3 years ago after COVID-19, Guinea was 127 Nike ranking FIBA list. Today Guinea is 74. That's when Guinea is growing up very well. We are 38 placement on the world ranking league Nike for the youth program. So Guinea have the potential. Guinea, I hope in the next pre-Olympic tournament in Nigeria in next August, we'll have the pleasure to propose all our NBA players, and for sure we'll play Mamadi Daikite, we'll win the NBA ring with Milwaukee Bucks. Also two EuroLeague players, Alpha Kaba, and for that reason, I hoping in the stay only player of Detroit Pistons, Hamidou Diallo, who is also Guinean 100%, we will find the possibility he will join also the team.
That's Jelko Zecevic, the head coach of Guinea's men's and women's national basketball teams. And he spoke with Iron Mike Imbonye in Abidjan, Ivory Coast.
Sporting greetings from Jelko Zecevic. I'm a head coach of Guinea national team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America, VOA. All the best. Thank you for everything.
Thanks, coach. And that wraps up the July 5th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
That's the sunny side of sports.